John chapter 1, verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Let's pray again and ask God to help us. Father, we again thank You for Your Word. We thank You that Your Word is absolutely and totally infallible and inerrant, perfect in every way. Father, we thank You that Your Word is a hammer that breaks hard hearts, that it's like a fire that melts down resistance. Father, we thank You that it is living and active. You tell us that Your Word is living and active like a double-edged sword that divides soul and spirit, joints and marrow. And so, Lord, we ask that Your Spirit would blow upon Your Word this evening and have Your way with us, that You would change us, that You would move in our hearts to delight ourselves in You, knowing that You will give us the desires of our hearts. And so we ask that You would come and be with us, Father, by the power of Your Spirit, for the glory of Your name, for Jesus' sake. Amen. I read two thoughts this morning, one from Douglas Webster and one from Mr. Tripp, Pastor Tripp. But Douglas Webster says this: at the birth of the Son of God, there was brightness at midnight. At the birth of the Son of God, there was brightness at midnight. At the death of the Son of God, there was darkness at noon. Pastor Tripp says, each Christmas confronts us again with what we all, without exception, need. And I would say most desperately need more than we even know. Christmas confronts us with the fact that we need a Savior. It reminds us that we need a Savior. Every day you and I should do what the shepherds did: run with wonder and joy to the feet of the Messiah and worship. So that's what I hope, that as we meditate upon this scripture tonight, we will be moved to run with wonder and joy to the feet of Jesus and worship. I have several questions to ask and, Lord willing, answer from the text. Number one, who is the Word? Who is the Word that in our text says became flesh and dwelt among us? Who is the Word? And to learn who the Word is, we're going to look at John 1, verses 1 through 3. So keep your Bibles open and look up a few verses to John 1, verses 1 through 3. We're told, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. So what do we learn about the identity of the Word here? The Word was in the beginning. The Word was in the beginning. There never was a time when the Word was not. There never was a time when the Word was not. As one of my favorite preachers, Dr. Lockridge, says, He always has been and He always will be. There was nobody before Him and there'll be nobody after Him. You can't impeach Him and He's not going to resign. That's the Word. He was in the beginning. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was God. I go up to Broad and Olney a lot. I was there today. I'm amazed at how zealous Jehovah's Witnesses are to proclaim their message, which is a false message. But they're there every time I'm there as an army, 6, 7, 8 people. And they were there for hours, and then I saw them switch the guard and a new 8 people came. And they would take a passage like this and translate it this way. And the word was a God. What's wrong with that? The problem with that is the Bible teaches there's only one God. Isaiah 44:6. Yahweh is God. He alone is God. There's only one God. So there can't be a God who is the archangel who has come as a man. No, there's only one God. And so to translate that with an A is a wrong translation. There's no A in the Greek language. There's no indefinite article. No, Jesus, the Word, was God. And notice that the Word created all things. All things were made through Him. All things were made through Him. And without Him, nothing was made that was made. So if there's anything in the category of made, Jesus made it. The Bible says everything that was made through Him. And without Him, nothing was made that was made. So if you have a category of made, Jesus made it. He can't be in the category of made. He always has been. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was God. Why did John call Jesus the Word? Why did John call Jesus the Word, John, inspired by the Holy Spirit? I think Hebrews 1, verses 1 through 2 helps us with this. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed the heir of all things, through whom He also created the world. So God spoke in many ways. He spoke through the prophets. He spoke through Abraham. He spoke through Moses. But in these last days, we're in the last days. We have been ever since Jesus came. We've been in the last days ever since Jesus came and lived and died. In these last days, He's spoken through His Son. And so this means that Not just Jesus' words are God's message, which they are, but He Himself is God's final message. He Himself is God's final message. Jesus, the Word made flesh. Second question, what does it mean that the Word became flesh? The text says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Tabernacled among us. That literally means pitched a tent with us. He made His home with us. He tabernacled with us. This is what Christians have traditionally celebrated for so many years at this time of the year. That the Word, the second person of the Trinity, God the Son, took upon Himself human flesh. He did not cease to be God, but added to Himself true humanity in all its fullness. So He is and forever will be both fully God and fully man. We meditated on that on Wednesday night, that Jesus is still a man. He still has the body that He had on this earth. You could still put your hands in the nail prints. He still has a human body, and He will for all eternity. Behold the God-man. How did this happen? How does it happen that God becomes man, takes upon flesh upon Him? Well, we see in Luke 1, 26 through 35, Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 35. This is the recording of the virgin birth. when this was announced to Mary that she would give birth as a virgin. One note on this, as I was preparing, I thought about this. This is not the Immaculate Conception. Many people think that the virgin birth and the Immaculate Conception are the same thing. The Immaculate Conception is the false teaching of the Roman Catholic Church that Mary was conceived without sin. That Mary was conceived without sin. That's the Immaculate Conception. That's not true. Because the Bible teaches we're all born in sin. And Mary needed a Savior. She is blessed among women. She is blessed among women. But she needs a Savior. She needs forgiveness. So this is the account of the virgin birth announcement. Luke 1, beginning in verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of a greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." So this is the fulfillment of the prophecy that was made some 700 years before Jesus was ever born in Isaiah 7. A virgin shall give birth. Friend, if you're here this evening and you have trouble with, is this true? Is this message true? Is this really the only way to be saved? Jesus, look at the prophecies. Just look at how many words were spoken of Jesus and what He would do and how He would do it and how they're all fulfilled in this one man. It's amazing. When I was wrestling with these things in high school, how do I know Jesus is the truth? How do I know He's the only Savior? How do I know that I shouldn't follow Allah or Buddha or Muhammad? How do I know? And one of the things that gripped me was seeing testimony after testimony after testimony, hundreds of years before Jesus was born, of prophecy being fulfilled in this one man. This one man, and oh, that moved me to fall in love with this man, to trust my life to this man, to entrust my whole hopes and dreams in this life and eternity to this one man. Like Peter said, "Lord, to whom else shall we go? For only You have the words of eternal life." Oh, friends, see that Jesus is the fulfillment of all these prophecies. And so the Holy Spirit overshadowed, God the Spirit overshadowed Mary, and that which was conceived in her was from the Spirit, and Jesus was conceived in her womb. And He grew. He was knitted together in His mother's womb, like Psalm 139 says, "I keep these little babies around me because I like to remember that this is what a 12-week-old fetus looks like." Most of the babies that are aborted are this size or larger. I keep this around to remind me. But Jesus was conceived in the womb of Mary and was a little baby like this. A little baby like this. And He grew. He had flesh and blood. He had to urinate. He had to eat. He had to sleep. And He grew and He was born. He came out of her birth canal. He cried. And He was wrapped in clothes and laid in the feeding trough of a cow. That's amazing. I see pictures sometimes that people have of a manger and it says the first king-size bed. That's our Savior. That's Jesus. He took on flesh and dwelt among us. And our text says that we've beheld His glory. What glory have we seen? The text says, and we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father. We've seen the glory of the Word, the only Son from the Father. We've seen Him speak like no man ever spoke. I love reading that in the Gospels where Jesus is preaching and proclaiming and people react and say, no man ever spoke like this man. No man. We've seen Him love like no man has ever loved. Sometimes His love was tough. People wouldn't call it love today. They would get offended when Jesus looked at Peter in the eyes and with the lovingest heart that any man ever had said, get behind me, Satan. Friends, that's love. That's loving. To rebuke when we're headed in the wrong direction. That's what love does. Love doesn't say, you're okay. I'm okay. We're all okay. Let's just get along. Love speaks truth. That's what love does. That's true love. That's Jesus' love. Jesus loved when He saw people desecrating the temple, selling things, and He made a whip of cords and drove people out. Perfect love did that. Perfect love. Oh, would we know Him if we saw Him today? Would we recognize this kind of bold, tough love? And yet He was tender. He was tender as well. The perfect boldness meets perfect humility in Jesus. And so He was tender. And so the woman who's caught in adultery, He's tender with her. He's tender with her. And everyone walks away and they don't stone her. And He says to her, I forgive you. Go and sin no more. I don't condemn you. He's tough and he's tender. No one ever loved like this man. We've seen Him live a perfectly obedient, Spirit-filled life like no man has ever lived. We've seen Him heal the sick. We've seen Him cause the blind to see and the deaf to hear. We've seen Him cleanse lepers. We've seen Him make the lame to walk and raise the dead. We've seen Him command nature, peace be still. And the rain stops, the wind stops, the seas are calm. And the disciples who were terrified are even more terrified now. Who is this man in the boat with us? Friends, if we hung out with Jesus, He would terrify us. He would terrify us at times. We've seen His glory. This is His glory. We've seen Him forgive sins. Son, your sins are forgiven. Only God forgives sins. We've seen Him claim to be God Himself. He said, before Abraham was, I am. I am is the name of Yahweh, God Almighty. Jesus is Jehovah. His disciples, Peter, James, and John, saw His glory on the Mount of Transfiguration where the veil was removed and He shone like bright light. They beheld His glory. We've seen His glory in His death on the cross where He bore the wrath and curse and judgment of God for sinners and then rose up from the dead and conquered sin, death, and hell. He's the resurrection and the life. That's the glory that we've seen. That's the glory the apostles have seen. That's the glory that we have seen. And how do we see it? Because we've read it. We've read about it. We've been told. Witnesses have been passed down century after century. And we've seen it through the Word. Oh, we've seen His glory. What does it mean that the Son is full of grace and truth? He's full of grace and truth. Our text tells us. John 14:6 says this, Jesus said to them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Friend, there's only one way to God. As one pastor has said, all religions lead to God, but only one leads to God for salvation. All religions lead to God for judgment. As judge, only one religion, Jesus, leads to God for salvation. Friends, do you know Him? Do you know Christ? There's no way to the Father except through Jesus. Except through the God-man. He is the truth. He is the truth. Let's think about that for shortly. He's the truth. He's the truth. He's full of grace and truth. We're going to go with truth first. John 3:16-19. John 3, verse 16 through 19. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned. But whoever does not believe is condemned already. Because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that light has come into the world and people love the darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. Jesus came proclaiming the truth. And friends, remember, we follow a Messiah who people began to hate so much that they killed Him. They killed Him. Man hated Jesus so much. Do you think if Jesus were here today, He would not be controversial? He would be the most controversial of the controversial. There would be no peace and rest. Everywhere He would go, trouble would stir up. Why? Because He told the truth about man's heart. And man's heart is wicked. Is wicked. Jesus Himself said in John 7, verse 7, the world cannot hate you, but it hates Me. Why does the world hate Jesus? Because I testify about it that its works are evil. Its works are evil. Friend, how much do you have to look at the world today and see that the works of the world are evil? People killing one another, shooting one another. People killing little babies and calling it a choice. People stealing and lying. Kidnapping young women in Nigeria. ISIS beheading people, doing what the Quran commands them to do, faithfully following Islam. They're beheading Christians. Racism. 11 o'clock, still the most segregated hour in America. Wickedness. But friends, that's all out there. What about you? What about me? What about your heart? This sin is in your heart. This evil is in your heart. This murder is in your heart, in my heart. Friend, if you're here tonight and you're not a believer, the only way you can come to Christ is if you first see that you've sinned against God, that you've broken His law, that you've offended this God, that you have done evil. That your anger, your rage toward your child when you're impatient toward them, or your anger in the car, that's murder according to Jesus. That's murder. To look at a woman in lust, Jesus says, is adultery. To be having sexual relations outside of the marriage covenant is sexual immorality, of which Jesus says you will not inherit the kingdom of God if you practice such things. Disobedience to parents, children. Disobeying your daddy and your mommy is forbidden by God. It's sin. Friends, because of this sin, Because this sin is against an infinitely holy and righteous and good God, the only just penalty for that sin is death in hell forever. Friends, Jesus, lowly, meek, and mild, He spoke of hell more than anyone else in the Bible combined. And He spoke of it as a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth, of everlasting fire, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. To warn us, flee from the wrath to come. Flee from the wrath to come. And you see, this is what Christmas is all about. There's a Savior from the wrath to come. There's a Savior who is born this day, whose name is Jesus, who delivers from the wrath to come. This, when you see what you deserve, when you know what your sin deserves, and you see the Savior can deliver you from it, and you can be free and forgiven, and no condemnation forever, oh, that puts a spring in your step. You will sing joy to the world at a different octave, at a different level, at a different volume, when you just realize you've been snatched from the flames of hell. Praise God! I'm not going to hell, I've been saved. Oh, God's Spirit must work it in our hearts to know what He saved us from. And He saved us by grace. He's full of truth. He's going to come to you and He's going to tell you the truth about you, and it's going to offend you and you're not going to want to hear it. But He's full of grace. Then when you see that what He's saying is true, and like we saw the thief on the cross on Sunday, we are guilty. We deserve this. And you're able to say that about yourself. Yes, I am guilty. I'm a sinner. I deserve God's wrath. Then may the message of grace come to you. May the message of grace come to you. And Jesus is not only full of truth, He's full of grace. And this grace comes to us because of what He did on the cross. Romans 5:8, but God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. When I'm out at Broad and Olney preaching on the street, I want to make clear to everybody, I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. I've committed adultery. I've murdered. I have murdered people. I'm a murdering, adulterous, lying, fornicating, evil, wicked, adulterous man. And you know, I'm glad I'm a sinner because Jesus only came to save sinners. He only came to save sinners. He didn't come for righteous people. He came for those who see they're sinners. They've broken God's law. They deserve His wrath, and they flee to Him for mercy. You see, that's why Jesus came. That's who Jesus came for. And He died on that cross. And all my sin and all the sins of everyone who would ever turn and believe in Him, those sins were counted as Jesus' sins. They were imputed to Him, though He knew no sin. And the Father laid the hammer down on His Son. He crushed His Son, Isaiah 53 says. It was the will of the Lord to crush Him. He was stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. And so you and I could be free from God's wrath forever. Because you see, He didn't stay dead. He's not like Muhammad, who's dead in the grave. He's not like Buddha, who's dead in the grave. He's not like the million Hindu gods who are rock, stone, and stubble and are dead. Jesus conquered sin. He conquered death. He conquered hell. He's alive. He's the resurrection and the life. And because He lives, if you turn from your sin and believe in Him, He will save you too. You notice that in John 3:16? Whosoever, come adulterers, come fornicators, come those who have murdered your own children in the womb. Jesus will save you. He will forgive you of all your sins. He will wash you totally clean. All He demands is that you turn from sin and believe in Him. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. This is by grace. You can't earn this. You can't be good enough. You can't be a good enough preacher to earn God's favor. You can't be a good enough parent, good enough mother, father, good enough worker, good enough whatever. It's a gift of God that He gives to you by grace. Ephesians 2:8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It's the gift of God. We think about gifts at Christmas time. This is the gift of God. Salvation through Jesus, through faith in the Redeemer's blood. And when you believe in Him, He forgives you of all your sins. He counts His Son's righteousness as if it were your righteousness and sings over you. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because everything you've done has already been punished in hell. Jesus took your hell. He took your hell and it's gone. The fires are extinguished forever. Forever. That's what Christmas is all about. The Word becoming flesh, dwelling among us, dying, rising, and calling all people everywhere to repent and believe this gospel. That's my King. The Word made flesh. The Word made flesh. Jesus is the Word made flesh. With sin and evil, He won't mesh. His body they would kill and thresh, then rise to all the world refresh. It's Christmas. It's Christmas. A virgin is pregnant. Joseph is wondering what happened. You ever think about that? You think that was easy for Joseph? You think that was scandalous? This was a big deal. He's betrothed to this woman and she's gotten pregnant, and she says she had a vision of an angel who told her she's pregnant by God. Okay. He was even going to put her away privately. But then he had a dream. An angel came to him and said, "Don't be afraid. It is God in her tummy." It's Christmas. A virgin is pregnant. Joseph is wondering what happened. The angel Gabriel is making the story clear. But the cross is coming. It's Christmas. Women who can't get pregnant are rejoicing. Elizabeth, Mary, the impossible is becoming possible. God is acting. The Holy Spirit is overshadowing. Songs of praise are being written. But the cross is coming. It's Christmas. The Mighty One has done great things. His mercy is from generation to generation. He's scattering the proud. He's toppling the mighty. He's satisfying the hungry. He's sending the rich away empty because they don't know the cross is coming. It's Christmas. The God of Israel has visited to provide redemption for His people. He has raised up a horn of salvation to save us from our enemies and all who hate us. He'll bring us knowledge of salvation and forgiveness of sins. Light is going to shine in darkness because the cross is coming. It's Christmas. Caesar Augustus is decreeing. Joseph and Mary are traveling. The cattle are feeding. Herod is conniving. The star is shining. Angels are speaking. The shepherds are praising. But the cross is coming. It's Christmas. No room was found in the inn for my King. No bed was available where He could lay His head. He's homeless. He's laying in the feeding trough of a cow. But they don't even know the cross is coming. It's Christmas. The glory of the Lord is shining. Good news of great joy for all people is being proclaimed. A Savior who is Christ the Lord is born. Glory to God in the highest and peace on earth. Because the cross is coming. It's Christmas. The shepherds are preaching about the glory of my King. All who hear them are amazed. Mary is treasuring and meditating, but she doesn't even know yet the cross is coming. It's Christmas. Wise men are seeking Him. The star He created, the star He upholds by the word of His power, the star that can't compare with the brightness of His glory, that star is leading them to Him, the Savior of the world. And they shower Him with gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But let me tell you something. The cross is coming. It's Christmas. Wickedness is abounding. Sin has no remedy. Herod is killing little babies. Mothers are weeping. Fathers are stumbling. There's no peace on earth. No justice is being done. But you see, it's only Christmas. The cross is coming. It's Christmas. Hope is born. Salvation has come. Prophecy has been fulfilled. God has become man. Yet He's the sign who will be opposed. And a sword will pierce Mary's heart. because the cross is coming. It's Christmas. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. Sing, choirs of angels, sing in exaltation. Glory to the newborn King. He rules the world with truth and grace. See within a manger laid Jesus, Lord of heaven and earth. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Let every heart prepare Him room. And go tell it on the mountain, because the cross is coming. It's Christmas. It's only Christmas. But the cross is coming. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this time of the year that we can especially remember and turn our hearts and minds back to the truth that Jesus was born, that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have the privilege and honor of seeing His glory, who is full of grace and truth. Father, when so many in this world have never heard His name, oh, Father, how privileged we are to know these truths. Father, I pray, we pray that everyone here tonight would believe these truths. Lord, would know Him, would know the Christ child, would believe in Him and follow Him. Lord, we pray that for those of us who are Christians, who are Your followers, Lord, we pray that You would work in us a new and fresh, powerful delight in the God-man. Lord, that we would fall more deeply in love with our Savior. That we would hum about Him. That we would sing about Him when we're alone. That we would meditate upon Him like a giddy teenager in love. Oh God, work this in our hearts, we pray. Give us eyes to see the beauty of our Savior and cause us to fall more in love with Him every day, we pray. For Jesus' sake, amen. Amen.